Chapter 33. The rain had plastered my hair to my head by the time I got all the material for the summoning out of the beetle's trunk. I stuffed it all into a gym bag and then walked out to the middle of the backyard. It wasn't quite too dark to see, not yet, but I didn't want to make any mistakes, so I used the last of the chemical light sticks Kincaid had given me before our raid on Mavra's Scourge the year before. I snapped it and shook it up, and green-yellow light spread out in a little pool around me. The rain limited how much it could spread, and it created the illusion that the entire world had shrunk to a 10-foot circle of rain and grass and green-golden light. I started with a circle where I intended to trap the Earl King. The coil of barbed wire still gleamed with its factory finish. I uncoiled enough of it to give me several small holes in my fingers and to join into a circle about 7 feet across. Though it wasn't cold iron in the technical sense, it was very much what the fairies meant when they said cold iron. The wire had plenty of iron in it, and cold iron was the bane of the fairy world. I laid the barbed wire out, straightening it slightly as I went, and tacked it down into the damp earth with horseshoe-shaped metal staples as long as my little finger. I double-checked every staple and then clipped the barbed wire from the larger roll and used a pair of pliers to twist the loose ends together. After that, I marked out the points of an invisible 5-pointed star within the circle and placed several articles with an affinity for the Earl King, a heavy collar one might place on a hunting hound, a whetstone, a small bowie knife, flint and steel, and several steel arrowheads. Then I placed my own affinity items opposite those of the Earl King's, outside the circle. A used copy of The Hobbit, the splintered end of my last blasting rod, my .44, a parking ticket I hadn't paid yet, and finally, my mother's silver pentacle amulet. I stepped back and went over the circle again, making sure that it was fixed solidly and that nothing had fallen across it. In the back of my mind somewhere, I was aware of the approach of sunset. I don't know how I knew it, really. It was already darker than most nights, and I certainly couldn't judge when the sun would be down with all those rain clouds in the way. But that didn't seem to matter. I could feel the sunlight still gliding down to be trapped in the overcast, could feel its presence and warmth with some part of my mind that wasn't entirely beholden to mere physics. I could feel it fading, and felt the concurrent stirring of the magical forces of night as it did. The energy of night was far different than that of daylight. Not inherently evil, but wilder, more dangerous, more unpredictable. Night was a time of endings, and this night, Samhain, All Hallows' Eve, was particularly so. On this night, the forces of the spirit world, the wild things that haunted the Never-Never, drawn to death and decay, would flit freely back and forth. Spirits would turn restless in their graves and wander the world, mostly unseen by mortal eyes. The wild beasts could feel the night coming, and their metropolitan cousins could sense the knife edge of danger and energy in the air. Dogs began to howl in the neighborhood around me, first one, then two, then dozens, and their long, low, mournful howls rose up in a haunting tide. Dark was only moments away, and I stripped the black leather glove from my bad hand and knelt by the barbed wire circle. Then I leaned down and pressed my left palm, all scarred but for the shape of Lashiel's sigil, like a living brand on my skin, against the nearest tine of barbed wire, pressing my flesh down with careful deliberation. I didn't feel the wire cut me, but there was a trickle of warmth over a portion of the sigil, and my blood, black in the greenish chemical light, slipped down over the barbed wire, mixing with my will to send energy coursing into the cold iron prison I had built. The prison was built and the trap was set. I wished that there had been more time to assemble the articles I'd needed. If there had been months to prepare, I could have worked with Bob to figure out the best way to do the job. The materials might have been rare and expensive and difficult to attain, but it was within the realm of possibility to build a circle from which even a being like the Earl King could not lightly escape. But there hadn't been time, and if my quickie-mart Alcatraz was going to do the job, it would need all of my focus and determination. So I shut my doubts into a closet in the back of my mind, along with my fears. I knelt in my coat in the rain, staff still in my right hand, and took slow, deep breaths. I envisioned myself drawing in power with each breath, and exhaling weakness and distraction. I felt the magic stirring around me and within me as I did, and I started building up my will, gathering my strength for use, until the wet grass seemed to sparkle with too many points of green-gold light, and the hairs on my neck rose up on end. I took in a final deep breath, and on the exhale, night fell.